Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Our goal is that no Canadian pays more than 30% of their income towards their home. It's also a plan to make sure that we don't leave the most vulnerable behind, that we keep building housing for people with low incomes, and that we take action to address homelessness so people never have to resort to living in a tent.
Prime Minister says his goal is, and you heard it. Well, according to Canadians and what we've told Ipsos for Global News, what Canadians want from the budget, which will be released on Tuesday, number one, help with rising cost of living. Number two, invest in health care. Number three, reduce personal taxes. Number four, freeze the carbon tax. Number five, reduce overall government spending. And number six, reduce the deficit. It all revolves around finances, money, and Canadians are massively stressed. Half of us have told pollsters repeatedly that we're not sure that we can pay our debts, that we're within $200 of not being able to pay our bills at the end of the month. We're joined by the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, Pierre Poilievre, who, according to national polling, is going to score a massive majority government victory. Mr. Poilievre, it's good to have you back with us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So Canadians clearly are clued in or tuned in and are telling the federal government and telling you what they want. And most important to them is help with their cost of living, and the carbon tax is in there in the top five as well. As I understand it, you also sent a letter. The Conservative Party has sent a letter to Mr. Trudeau with three demands for the budget. Can you share that with us, please?
Yes. The letter said that the Prime Minister is not worth the cost, and that we needed to reverse his entire policy by the following three steps. Let's axe the tax on farmers and food so Canadians can afford their groceries. Second, let's fix the budget with a dollar for dollar law to bring down interest rates and inflation. And three, let's build the homes by requiring cities and municipalities permit 15% more home building per year as a condition of getting federal funds. So axe the tax on food, cap the spending to bring down interest rates and inflation, and build the homes so you can afford one.
So what would you say to Mr. Trudeau about all of his crisscrossing Canada over the last number of weeks, making promises that total in the multiples of billions of dollars when we have a debt of $1 trillion already? What does it say to you that he's been crisscrossing the country, making all these promises and touching one on what you've just told us?
Well, Justin Trudeau is like the pyromaniac who now promises to become a firefighter. But the problem is that he's spraying gasoline and not water on that inflationary fire that he first lit. He's the one that caused the inflation by doubling the national debt, spending the country into the poorhouse. All that spending bids up the cost of the goods we pay and buy and the interest we pay. And that's why Canadians are lined up at food banks. It's why they're losing their homes. It's why the 76% of people who don't yet have a home believe they never will. Housing costs have doubled after 8 years of Trudeau promising to lower them. After 8 years, Justin Trudeau is not worth the cost, the crime, and the corruption. He's not worth the country we love. It's time to fire him.
So if polling is correct, and I spoke with Daryl Bricker of Ipsos a few weeks ago about this, saying, is there time for Mr. Trudeau to recover that 20% he's trailing you by? And Mr. Bricker said, likely not. So if you become the prime minister of this country within the next, who knows, 6 months, depending on what Mr. Singh does, year and a half, is your commitment to, use your word, axe the tax, the carbon tax, is that the first thing you do when you become prime minister?
Yes.
So I had Mr. Chrétien in the studio in 1993, and he swore up and down that if he were elected prime minister, he would get rid of the GST, We all know that didn't happen. How do we hold you accountable for this promise?
Well, just because liberals break their promises doesn't mean that common sense conservatives will do the same. I ran in 2006 with Harper on cutting the GST, and guess what? We cut the GST. I ran on creating the child benefit, and guess what? We created the child benefit. I ran on cracking down on crime, and we cracked down on crime. It worked. We brought crime down 25%. And just remember, when I was housing minister, the average rent was $950. I mean, today you can't even rent a doghouse in someone's backyard for $950 a month after 8 years of Trudeau. So that's my record. Look at my past if you want to know my future. And I'm going to axe the tax. I'm going to axe the tax as the first action I take as prime minister. And I'm also going to build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime.
Mr. Singh appears to be abandoning the carbon tax hit on individual Canadians, which is bewildering Mr. Trudeau in the process. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, now you have to make sure you're up to the minute with Mr. Singh. He said he voted 22 times to support raising the carbon tax. And then a few days ago, he said he didn't think it was necessary. But just late last night, in case anyone didn't get the news, he said, whoops, he still supports the carbon tax on consumers. So he has flipped and flip-flopped and flopped the flip. hard to keep track of all that. Yeah, he just put it out yesterday, a statement saying that he is, in fact, like Justin Trudeau, supporting the carbon tax hike up to 61 cents a liter, quadrupling the tax over the next 5 years if they get elected, God forbid. But the good news is common sense conservatives will axe the tax entirely. It will be zero when I'm prime minister.
Mr. Poilievre, let me ask you about the public inquiry into foreign interference in our elections. CSIS Director Vigneault is at odds with the prime minister as far as their individual recollections are concerned on information provided to the prime minister and the PMO in 2019 and 2021, re Beijing's interference in our federal elections. What do you make of that?
Well, the irony is that Trudeau was asked on the stand why he didn't take an action to stop foreign interference, even though he was warned about it in his briefing notes. And his defense was, I don't read my briefing notes. You have to give spoon feed information to me in an oral briefing or else I won't absorb it. So here we have a prime minister who says he doesn't read things. Now, in fairness, I think most people would believe that defense. I don't think anyone would accuse Justin Trudeau of being a ferocious reader of books or notes or anything for that matter. But still, he wants the power. He has to take the responsibility. And it's like everything with this guy. He wants the power over housing policy, but then he doubles housing costs and doesn't want to take responsibility for it. He wants the power over our money and then drives us into the poorhouse and doesn't want to take the blame. And then in this case of foreign interference, he was warned about the involvement of Beijing in our elections. And I think either he didn't care or he was benefiting from it, so he welcomed it. I don't know which is worse.
And there are a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed on that issue yet. Mr. Trudeau also was not concerned, and I'd like your thoughts on this, because if you're prime minister and an election will be called somewhere down the road, it will be something you will have to pay attention to and deal with if you don't prior to an election. Mr. Trudeau was not concerned with foreign students being bussed into Liberal Party nomination for Don Valley North in Ontario, and actually made a joke about it, about school buses versus tricycles during the commission hearing. He made a joke of it.
Yeah, look, he doesn't care about foreign interference because he benefits from it. And I think one of the questions we have to ask is, why would a communist government in Beijing be so determined to keep Justin Trudeau in power? Is it because he's doing a terrific job for Canada, or is it because he's doing a terrific job for Beijing? He already said he admired China's basic communist dictatorship, and he's brought in very radical policies of censoring people online, of hiking taxes, of driving people into tent cities that resemble the consequences of that you see in communist countries. So that should worry us all. I think we need to get back to the common sense Canadian consensus that I will restore in order to bring home the country that we knew and that we still love.
Let me come back to what Canadians want from the budget next Tuesday. This again is the Ipsos poll that was conducted for Global News. Number one is help with rising cost of living. We've just talked about that. Number two, and not far behind number one, is invest in healthcare. I'm about to speak with the president of the Canadian Medical Association. I do that quite a bit, Mr. Polyev, and they're consistently bringing forward the same message, and the same level of frustration exists with Canadians, and the same roadblocks continue to exist as far as Canadians receiving the treatment they desperately require at times to save their lives. How would you approach the issue of healthcare? How could you attack this very convoluted, complex, confusing, and not representative program that Canadians really truly want to believe in?
Well, the simplest and the lowest hanging fruit we have is the many doctors and nurses that we have in Canada who were effectively banned from practicing medicine. You've got 20,000 immigrant doctors and 32,000 immigrant nurses banned from practicing because there's no direct path to prove their qualifications. In the States, a Filipino nurse, for example, can take a test, prove she's qualified, and get to work within a couple of weeks. It's an international test, very high standard. It's not some fly-by-night exam. But in Canada, that same Filipino nurse would probably end up having to take a job making $17 or $18 an hour working at a coffee shop. Now, what I'm proposing is that we bring the provinces together and form a blue seal testing standard for immigrant professionals. They can take a test, prove they're qualified, get to work in 2 months. We already did this with the trades 70 years ago. We have the red seal for mechanics and electricians. Let's get a blue seal for doctors and nurses and get more of them working to treat us in our hospitals.
Okay, I have time for one more question. We agreed to the length of the time of this interview. Let's go back to the axe the tax. The first point that you raised, the three demands you're making of Mr. Trudeau's government to fix the budget, axe the tax on farmers and food by immediately passing Bill C-234 in its original form. What about axe the tax on energy, fuel, heating? How about that one?
I'm for that as well. Look, I'm going to axe the tax on everything. But I thought, you know, we're stuck with this guy for another year and a half. Maybe a compromise so people don't starve would be to at least take the tax off food. Well, we have 2 million people lined up at food banks every month. But he has rejected that. Not only is he keeping the carbon tax on the farmers and truckers who deliver us our food, he plans to quadruple it up to 61 cents a liter. So that's your choice, folks, in the next election. Do you want to hike the tax up to 61 cents a liter? I mean, more expensive groceries for your family, or do you want to axe the tax to bring home affordable food, gas, and groceries under Pierre Polyev and the Common Sense Conservative?
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.